The holding on Pei Vavu Mebeis by the Mishnah, first Mishnah. Hamoshe Bezishto Chadbonis. So he puts her as the shopkeeper for his, in his shop. Oy Shemina Apitropia. He appoints her as the overseer of his business. He raised Mashbia calls Mancha Yurza. Eliezer Armafila of Pilcha of Alisos. So he has the right to be Tevei Yeshua that she has not misappropriated properties, etc. So Eliezer says that he can Mashbia her not only on the store, not only on the business, but also on her plach, her spindle that she's making with thread, which was a standard, like we saw before, that the standard part of the word of the Isha was to produce enough thread for the clothing of the family, and on the dough. If she's stealing some away, putting some away. Zakrashi, Chenbonis, Limkar Yenoi Upeiros Bechanus. So it's his wine and his peiros, and she's going to sell them in the store. Mashpia Shal Ikva Biyoda Klum, that she has not taken some of it and scrolled it away somewhere, so he can make sure that she hasn't hid it away. Apertropia. She'll be buying and selling. She will be hiring workers, etc. Fine. So furthermore, Kashi Berluhum. Rabbi Eliezer, I had a Gilgal Komar, or the Chachila Komar. Rabbi Eliezer says he has a right to make her swear in regards to her plach. That maybe some of this thread that she made with his wool that she was making for him, she squirreled away, and she's going to go sell it on the black market and take the money. Says that a time of which once he's making her swear in the case of the Chavonis or the case of the Apotropia, so through the process of Gilgul Shua, he can also ask her to swear on that as well, or means Chachila, he can go make a tie on that, nothing to do with the case of that Chedvanis and Apitropia. He has a right to Chedchila, according to Bliezer, a woman who's not appointed to do these jobs, to make her swear maybe she put away some of the money, the plach money or the Issa money. So what does he mean? Okay. Toshma. So the Morris says, the Bryce says that the Umr Lelur Bliezer, the Chumah responded back to Eliezer. A person cannot live together with a viper in a basket. You can't live in very close quarters with something which is dangerous. So if the man is going to have that type of an attitude towards the wife, you're creating a situation where it's impossible for the woman to live. She can't live with the guy that she's making her thread, and he's thinking that she's hiding some of the thread away. Like that type of mistrust, you can't expect her to live like that.
What about the ratio of the mission?
It doesn't say what Rabbi Yasser's response back is, but they're saying, you're running a business, but you know, but
she's running the business.
They're saying, you know, so I have concerns about, it's a business, but it's not the business. This is the standard. He's thinking that if his attitude is that when she makes a dough in the house using the flour in the house, that maybe she squirrels some away to go sell to somebody, that's a whole different level of an attitude issue. Then she's running a business with large amounts of money going in and out, and maybe she took some money. So that's the Chumah's time.
I mean, I could understand one is worse than the other, but I have difficulty fathoming the narrow relationship in which, you know, the wife is running the business and the husband says, I want you to take shavuot that you haven't stolen.
Okay, I mean...
You're feeling sorry for her.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's just...
The time over here isn't Shalom Bayis. The time over here is that you're creating. She has a right to this. The Chama's time of the Pashas is that this would be a right for her to demand that she wants to get a divorce. That because I can't live like this. I can't live with every time I spend a penny in the house, he's going to question me. But there's a business. That's a different question. That's not every time I spend a penny in the house. That's not a function of the home. That's a function of a business.
Yeah, so she gets to request a divorce, or it's simply the halacha is that no, he can't do that.
No, nothing more than he can't do. The more the chometzana is, it's an argument of if that's the relationship, she can't function. So that argument only is relevant in the running of the home. It's not relevant in the running of the business. See, Yemer Bisham the Chatzkila Shaper, the Morse says, that was Chavim's response back to Eliezer. So, if Eliezer was saying that Chatzkila, this is something that the husband started asking for such requests, so that's a very good, that we understand the Chavim's arguments. So, I can't live with that type of Kapdonis, so that's a good argument. Eliamritz, Ayere Gilgal, which means he doesn't ask for this in general, but once she's swearing in a situation, so he says, you know, would you mind, he wants to swear for that about that also. So my nafkalo mino, so a man who comes and demands a shvua l'chadchila, demands a shvua l'chadchila and the running of the household items, that's an argument. Over here, she has, I don't want a little bit of person make me swear. But over here, she's swearing anyway. And the Chomim accept that shua. So why is it a problem if she's swearing for the household items as well? Samura says, no. Dharmale, she could say, even after I'm swearing about the business things, but even the kadaikas basroi kuli high lamatzino the other b'hadoch. But even so, to take it to the point that you're asking me to swear about the household items as well, I can't live with that. Okay.
He's upset about what? He's upset. She's upset about what? That.
It's not because I'm upset. The person, I cannot live with the person who, the micromanaging of a man to the point that he wants her to swear about every single detail. How much did she spend on when she bought a tomato?
But that's in the household.
That's a household issue,
right? But not a business issue. His business is she's running it.
A business.
And he's questioning her what she's doing.
Right. So that's
no difference?
No, it is a difference. The Chama's argument is a difference. It's a very big difference. That's the Chama's argument. It's a very big difference. They're saying business is a business, but to say that she can't function in the house, she's like, I can't function in a household. It's like, okay, I can't function in the business. So good, so we'll leave the business, you know. But I can't function. I can't function as a wife. You want me to function as a wife? I can't live like a wife like this. I can't live with it. The husband is going to be challenging every single thing that I'm doing as a wife. I can't live with a husband challenging everything I do as a business manager. Why can't you live like that? I mean, that's not a taina. But you can't ask me to be a wife and not be a wife. That's the chumash taina. Toshma. He didn't make an arrangement that he has no rights to make her to swear. A neder would be that he would get her to make this be ma'ames what she's saying, make what she's saying true by saying you're saying this is true. Are you willing to say that all of the payers in the world are also to me if what I just said is not true? Right? That would be the form of making a netter to prove what you're saying is true. Okay, so he did not give her any type of carte blanche. And then he appointed her as this chanvonis, or she may not be chopia. Or he appointed her as the manager. And he had not promised her any type of immunity. So Hareza is a mashbia, calls Manchi Yirtsa, so he can make her swear. Lo Hishiva Chedvonis, the Bryson says, however, if he had not given her any immunity, but he had not appointed her as the shopkeeper or the Lomina Pachopi, did not appoint her as a manager. Chama said, you can't. He said, well, I would like you to swear about the household items. There's no such claim. Even though she was not appointed to any type of position to run any business elements, but he could still make her swear. There's a moment when she was taking care of it herself. The plach and the isa. Amaloi ein adam dor im lochesh bekfifa. And that the Chachamim said, if that's the type of attitude he's going to have, you're making life intolerable for the woman. She can't live like that. So shvamina lechatchila shvamina. So we see in the brayse. The brayse is clear. Talking about she was not a chedmonis. She was not an apeshapa. It wasn't gilgal shua. It was lechatchila. He's going to go ask her for that type of. Request is intolerable.
I'm not sure I understand. I mean, because it's not shayach to have a nether that's like a Gilgal nether? How do you know it's lechad? Is all talking lechad chila?
Because as apishol hitshir bechadvonis, well, it means apishopia. She wasn't chadvonis. She wasn't an apishopia. The Chama's argument: you can make her swear about the business. She realizes that even though she has no business, he never made her an apishopia or made her chadvonis.
Right.
And still, Realizer is saying you can ask her to swear.
Okay, so we're assuming that there's nothing else that.
Yeah.
The way Gilgal comes is through. The business.
Correct. The argument of Gilgal over here was: once you're swearing about the business, swear about the household as well. So the Rebbe is saying, even though there was no business involved, he can still ask her to swear about the household. So I mean, there's no Gilgal. The Krasha Ayin Gilgal Kamar. First, the Shemoy Latanakam, but Amar Mashpiel Apichopsus. They can ask her to swear about the managing, but he can't ask her to swear about the household items. And according, if their argument about Gilgal, Rashi learns that the argument is like this: that the Eliezer came along and said, but you cannot ask her to swear about the plach on the isa. If you all get a Gilgal shuas apichopsis. Based on the Gilgal Shua about the apichopsis, why not? The Kiman, the Shua's apichopsis, drabonon. The case over here was the Shua is only Shua drabonon. How do I know that? The whole loy katoyin law teveya tainis bori. For the Shua be Shua the Raisa, he would have to come with a clear argument. I know that you've squirreled away X amount of money. And she says, no, I did not. It's only that amount of money, whatever it is. You'd have a But there's no shua on a Torah level. The person says, I'm worried, maybe you're hiding money. Please swear to me. It's just a tiny shema. So, but that being said, there were cases that the Mishnah says over there in Shuas that since the plausibility of the claim is significant, the Chomer Mesakin, that he could ask him to swear even though there's no Tanis Bori. So there are scenarios like that. So it's having over here, only saying, I want you to swear, that's all he says. I have no proof to anything. I'm not even sure myself. So the Chomim held such a Shua, Loi Megagalin Al Yada Shua Achriti. The halacha of Shua, Gil Shua, requires that the first Shua should be a Shua. Deraisa, let's say. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer's response was also Rabbi Eliezer the Memer. Hecha the Hashiva Chibon, in the case where she was in a business arrangement, Migo the Mishtavo, Apichopsis, Mishtavo, Nami, Ayere Gilgal, Apilchal Bisosa, the Migalgalin, the Chinzgisha to Bidrabonin. He also knows there isn't a Gilgal Shua on a Shua Drabonin. And once she's swearing about the business, he can make her swear about the household items as well.
Does he still need to have some type of basis for the shvua for the the business? So, for instance, he says, "Look, my profits have fallen, and I can't figure out what's going on here." Or is it Stom? I just want to make sure that there isn't anything funny going on. I have no reason to think there is, but I just want to keep people on their feet.
Is there somewhere in the middle? You don't need that he's coming with a specific issue that he's seeing. But just, I'm not sure if I want to keep people on their feet would be enough of a time. He says, I believe that you're doing something. I have no proof to it, but I believe you're doing something. You have to make a time. He's concerned. He says, I just want to, it's a great managing tool. Would not be an argument. The boss comes into work and says, listen,
I'm watching you.
I don't think that would be a good idea. Okay. So if that Rashi learns if they're discussing Gilgal Shua, so that's the machlokes. So what's the machlokes? Right, so what's bothering Rashi? That if Gilgal Shua works, so how could he not ask for this halachically? Right. So Rashi says because it's a shua, the argument a halachic issue of Gilgal Shua and Shua's Rabbanan. If they're arguing the Chachila, so we understand the Machlokes, right? We'll Bezdin give credence to such a request. But once it's Gilgal Shua, that's not really in Bezdin's hands normally. Okay. Even though she was not appointed for any business arrangement, he can ask her to swear about the plach. That's a form of her responsibility. Right? That's a financial value to the family that she's bringing in. So comes it back, but kupa achas. You can't live together inside of a kupa, inside of a box. So more says, if it's a chachila shaper, the omrele, she says to him, ho umishtavata li alpilchi, any yachol li suwa kaplan uscha. If you're expecting me to swear about my plach, I can't live with that type of level of oversight. Of demanding oversight of that sort, so I can't live with that. But if she's swearing Gilgal Shua, my nafkala minot. Her ain't is chayavta loy shua. She has to swear anyway. My ikshala gilgals that imla ikwiklum. If she has nothing to be worth scared of, so she'll swear. So she says, no. Hell, because because the yakta basroi, I feel that there's no love and trust over here. I can't live like this. He did not give her beforehand any type of commitment that I have no right to make a net, make you swear or make a net. So what's the netter? Rashi says she nederes loy, she would make a netter. Yaasu alai kol perish shebaolam imikavti mishalcha klum. If I took anything of yours, I'm going to make all of the pairs in the world usher on me. So assuming that she knows, she understands the power of a netter, and if she's lying, she's really in big trouble at this point in time. Can I remember Seth's Gittin? That Nimel Mila Ashbia, they did not want to make a even though a netter is an Aveira, but it's not the same level of Aveira as a Shua Sheker. A direct Shua Sheker, which is one, it's not one of the Sarsa Nibras, Shua Sheker is. His Krim Lil Zoka and Shatena Deris, the Yasimim, Komash Yirtsu, Begavik Subas. So when she comes to claim the Ksuba, and the Yasimim say, maybe there's something fishy over here, which they have a right to get that asked to ask her a shua.
What's that?
So Ramil said that what they can do is that you say the Yisraelim can say, well, we're worried. Are you willing to swear? Are you willing to take a netter that if you received your ksuva, that X will be usher in you, and she'll make that netter if. Say that if she received the ksuba, X is usher in her, and we assume that she's saying the truth now by saying that since she didn't get the ksuba, so X is not usher in her. So, what's your question?
What isn't point of the service?
I can't hear.
What isn't point of the service?
Being over a netter. But the Mishnah. Let's say, however, a kasev law, neder shua ainli alayit, if he gave her this commitment of hands, beforehand, up front, that he has a right to make her make a neder or a shua. So ainli yochel hashbiyah says, and then he can't ask her to swear. Hashbiyah, who has the yorsheh, it's a boy in Birushusa. But that would not preclude him that if he divorced her and she died, so he owes her the ksuba, and her yarshim are coming to collect the ksuba. He says that the so. When Yarshim comes to collect a chayv, the person can say that, you know, I believe that I paid, and the Yarshim come with a shtar, so pashas that's not true. But the halacha is not a ketzuk suba. Reuben lent Shimon $1,000. Shimon gives Reuben a shtar. Reuben comes to collect with the shtar, and Shimon says, "I know, yeah, shtar wins, but I'm saying that I really paid." And he held on to the shtar. I want him to swear, so luckily he has to swear. He can collect the shtar, but he has to swear that the shtar was not collected yet. Reuben would have to. Shimon's request for a shua, I guess Reuben, is valid. So now the husband is saying to the Yerushim of the Isha that he wants the Shua. Now they can't swear because they don't know. What they could swear is that we did not receive any information from her mother that was paid. We did not see any indication in her papers, and she did not give us any statements to the, you know, to the opposite, so that it was paid. That we were not told anything, and we didn't find anything amongst the stars. he told the woman that I have no claim of a neder reshua against you. So I'll never, if he would now again, sir, make this request for a shua, she could pull out the piece of paper that says he promised no shua, and she would get collect her ksuba without the shua. Now she dies. That right is like over to the yorsha. Let's see, he wrote her neder shua ainli alayich val yorshayich while the boy brishusayich. That he made a commitment; he's not going to ask from the yorshim as well, or those who come who bought it from her, etc. And a yochel ashpia loyhi v'lo yorsheha loyas the boy brishusa. So then, Bezum will force him to honor that commitment that he made, and he can't ask for a shua. Aval Yarshov Mashbi and Oisa Bes Yosheh Bes Abar Bishusa. But if he died and they're coming to collect from his Yarshim, the Yarshim saying maybe my father paid you already. We want you to swear before we're going to pay. So will the father promise that he can't ask for a shua? That does not bind his Yarshim. Okay, let's say he writes like this: Neder shu ainli v'lo the yorshai v'lo the boyim brishusi alayich v'yorshayich v'lo boyim brishuseich. Eno yochel ashpia loy hu v'lo yorshav v'lo boyim brishusa loy yisav v'lo yorshav v'lo boyim brishusa. So he's able to. The Mishnah saying he's able to bind his yorshim by making a commitment that his yorshim will not ask for any type of shvua in this transaction. They cannot ask for a shvua based on the commitment of the father. Okay. Holcha mekever ba'ala lebeisavia. So the husband died. She went straight from the burial. Back to her father's home. So she did not touch the property, any properties. She had no access to any properties after the death of the husband. She went to her father-in-law's home, but she had no access to the husband's properties. And she had not at any point in time been charged by the husband to take care of the properties. So in a yarshim must be in her son. The yarshim can't come and ask her to swear that maybe she's been paid. I.e., maybe she's taken some of the property for herself at some point in time. She never had access to it. She wasn't the managing of the property. She didn't have any access to the property after the husband died. So maybe she stole some of the property when he wasn't looking. That they can't ask for such a shua. They can ask while she's dealing with the property of the husband and in the position of the manager of his business dealings. So she says, "You know what? Not a bad idea to put the money from my ksuba away and let's put it somewhere." She has access to the money. Or after the husband died, it's hers. That's in her mind. She had a right to it, so she might have put some of it away. But she had no access after the husband died because she left immediately. She never had, and while he was alive, that maybe she had no access to the money. So maybe she stole into the cash box and put it away. They can't ask for such a shul. Okay. Now, and furthermore, v'nasis apichopia. Even if she'd been an apitropia, b'chayibala, she'd been managing the husband's lifetime. They can't argue that maybe while they cannot ask her, say, we are concerned that maybe while our father was alive, you took some of the properties for yourself. What they can argue is, since you're the apitropis and you have access to the money, so after the husband died, after our father died, you took advantage of that and got the money for the ksuva. But to say that while he was alive that you might have done that, they have no right to make such a request. Okay. So Rashi. Now Rashi learns that this is talking about a case of where he patterned her from the Shua to him, but not to the Yershim. So, and that's why they have a right to say that we're not concerned about what happened when the husband was alive. But if he had not patterned, so, so then, since he patterned, so the Yarshim's claim is not about what happened when the father was alive, because he patterned. The Yarshim's claim is about what might have happened after the father died. In other words, and once it's their property. So their right for the Shua is relevant to what happens once it's under their jurisdiction. Maybe she took property after the husband died. Well, she couldn't have. She went straight to her father's, she went straight home. Okay, but it sounds like if the father had not patterned for Meshua, they could ask about potential embezzlements during the husband's lifetime. That's a strong word, embezzlement. Okay, so Krash, any yochel ashbiya, grafarsh maya shua, mehai shua patra. What Shua are we referring to that he's relieving her from? Amashbiya was Yosheha. Imgirsha Umesa. He divorced her and then she died. Yosheha, and now her Yoshim, Taibin Haimenu Ksubasa. They're coming to collect the Ksuba from him. So Nishboyan, Shua's Yoshim. Even though he gave her a commitment not to make her swear, that commitment does not go over to her yarship. So they're coming to collect the shark suva. So they'd have to swear shuas yarship. I'm a fresh and set the shuas. So what is the shuas yarship? Shua shla pakatonu b'shas misa. She did not tell us anything as she was dying. Well, the omer lonu karam l'chein. We not hear anything from her earlier before she died. Well, matzana bein shtarasea, and we did not find any type of documentation shestar ksubasa perua that indicated the ksuba was paid. It's a bar mishusa. What would that mean? Bar mishusa. In makra ksubasa lachem, she sold to somebody else. That she's married to the husband. And she has a right to collect the ksuba if she gets divorced. She sells that right to somebody else. And now she got divorced. When he's garsha. Umesa. Well, kulos tarben oisay. So he's buying off hay and shuas hayarsha. If the woman is alive, even though sounds like Rashi, if the woman is alive, even though she sold the right to collect the ksuba, and he made no promise to them about not swearing. But there's a person who can clarify over here, right? So they're going to swear that she didn't tell us anything. I mean, let's ask her. She's here, so she's not here anymore to ask. So the same shua that the yarshim would swear, the purchasers of the chayv of the ksuba would swear. Okay, what about the other rounds? If he died, for example, Ibn Salmano, she became widowed, and now he said the husband died, and she's coming to collect. But he, oh Yerusha, she or her Yerushim Nifroimin and Yisaimim are collecting from the Yisaimim of the husband. So the she or her Yerushim would require a shua. Shilo Patron Elamimenu, the Torah that she got, the husband gave her or for her or her Yerushim, was from him. If they become collecting ksuba, he's alive. So he's saying that the people which come based on his rishus, I'm removing from them the right to ask for a shua. Who are they? I sold my properties. You're coming to collect from the kuchas. So I committed that there's no claim of Rishua against you in that situation. So now when the Lekuchas bought it, they bought it under that condition, that they can't ask for the woman to swear when the woman comes to collect. We're going back on the case of a woman who the husband relieved her from a Shua. So, going back in the first case, so the husband relieved her from a shua, so that does not go over to her yarship. However, she went straight in the base of Viyah, she did not touch the property after death. So their right to make your surah is only al osid lovay. Al ezik shalachim means it doesn't necessarily mean in the future, means but it could be in the from the moment of death. It's called that which will happen after the death. And now they're coming a little later. So well, maybe after the death you did something. Shalikum v'yada klum. So that was the father relieved her of her need to swear applies to when it's the father's property. So if the only claim they have against her was when about something which happened when the father was alive, she says vis-a-vis the interactions with the father, he pottered me. Right. So the only right they have a right to claim is, well, maybe something happened after he died. Well, after he died, it was impossible. But an Asik, which is B'chai Bala, that the Yershim have the right to make it. So even though the father's commitment did not apply to his Yershim, but it's about that he did pater her from any claims vis-a-vis what happened while they were married. So the Yershim can't get a claim. And their claim is only maybe she did something in the properties after the husband died before they went to Bezdin. Okay, so it's all this here.